Excellent. Praise God. So welcome on a Wednesday. Hope everybody's doing well as we come to worship the Lord in the middle of the week right now. So if you know of any sins, go ahead and confess them yourselves. If not, please repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I am not aware of any sins.
I am not aware of any sins.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Of all unrighteousness.
Of all unrighteousness.
According to 1 John 1:9.
According to 1 John 1:9. Okay. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I really felt that a lot of people just needed to be reminded that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. A lot of people have been going through many, many challenges, and we are not going to give in to the devil. It's not going to work in Jesus' name. They're all lies, and we stand full of faith. Amen.
Also, keep in mind, when you sing that song, you're actually affirming those words over yourself.
Yes.
And no weapon formed against you will prosper. And that's one thing we need to get into, is that no weapon of the enemy is going to harm us. We do this. We need to know and believe in our heart where the truth is. And the truth is in the Word of God. I don't care what it looks like out there in the world. I don't care about the fires. I don't care about people's financial situations. The Word of God is always true. We're going to stand on that word, and we're going to see that word manifest in our lives because we're diligent to go forward. And you know, let's say the fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much, and we're all fervently praying and believing for our victories in Jesus' name.
Amen. And as usual, we're going to remind you on a regular basis who we are in Christ Jesus. And we do not have the spirit of fear, because we are fearless, full of faith, and we operate in God's power, his dunamis, dynamite, resurrection, greater than any lightning storm. Power is inside of us. It eradicates all disease, all sickness, and demons, devils, and evil spirits run from us because we are submitted to God. Submitted to his word, we resist the devil, and that power of God in us can take care of anything in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And it's important that we realize that if you have a power but don't use it the way you should, we're not going to get the results that we need.
Right.
Right. So today is the anniversary of the 9/11 tragic challenge that happened when the Twin Towers came down in New York.
23 years ago already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2001. And I'm declaring that this day is going to be a super blessed day, that what the devil meant for bad, God's going to give us double blessings against the enemy in our own lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And one of the ways that we can come against the enemy is to increase how we hear from God, and to make sure that we can hear him better than we've ever heard him before. So we are going to revisit a series with a fresh outlook on this topic, which we have a topic in the Morning Miracle book, but we're really going to dig even deeper, okay?
Now, we're going back to how to hear the voice of God. And, you know, Apostle Joshua said that Pastor Karen and I are excellent teachers, getting people to hear the voice of God. And we're seeing that a lot, especially the Wake 633, is more and more people are telling us what they're hearing and how God is leading them and guiding them. So it's very exciting for us. Now, our goal is to disciple people, to get everybody where you hear the voice of God continuously. And I used this analogy the other week. I says, just like a drill instructor in the military, he's got a limited amount of time to get those men ready, or women, when they go into battle. He's not going to be there to tell them what to do. They have to know. They have to instinctively know. So we're here getting you ready when we're not around. Now, we're always here for you if you can get a hold of us. Not a problem. That's not what I'm saying. But if something's happening, and we're going to have a testimony later on about the Twin Towers. At the Twin Towers, there are people who heard God's voice and were safe. And there are people who didn't hear God's voice. Now, God is no respecter of persons. He was trying to tell everybody. Those who heard and obeyed were safe. So we're working to hear the voice of God. As these more challenging times come upon us, we're going to need to hear the voice of God, to know it, to discern it, to follow it quickly. There's not going to be time to say, huh? It's going to be, I hear you, Lord. I hear and obey. And that's what we're going to do. Okay, so the overview. All right, Christians who yearn to hear the voice of God want to learn how to hear his voice clearly, or how to discern the right voice to listen to. That's very important. Satan is a very talented deceiver. Okay, he's an impersonator. He's not the real thing. Christianity is a relationship with God, which we maintain through good communication. Our creative God is not limited to no one form of communication. It's essential you learn to hear God's voice well, so you can always be led by the Spirit of God, as is in Romans 8:14. We're always going to be led by the Spirit of God. Okay. Now, when you know somebody very well, you know their voice very well. And the truth is, someone tried to impersonate Karen or one of the people I know very well, I would know right away that it's not that person. It's an impersonator. And that's where you have to get to. Satan is a talented impersonator. Always remember, he tricked a third of the angels to leave the kingdom of God to come down here. He's talented. We must be even more talented at what we need to do, and that's hearing the voice of God. Okay? All right. So we're going to start with these. We're going to pray these prayers frequently. They will help you hear the voice of God. So repeat after me. This is Psalm 91, 1 to 2. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I dwell. In the secret place.
In the secret place.
Of the Most High.
Of the Most High.
I abide under. The shadow.
The shadow.
Of the Almighty.
Of the Almighty.
I say of you, Lord. You are my refuge.
You are my refuge.
My fortress.
And my fortress.
My God.
My God.
In you I trust.
In you I trust.
Okay. Now repeat after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Because I have set my love.
Because I have set my love.
Upon you, God.
Upon you, God.
Therefore, you, God.
Will deliver me.
You, God.
Will set me on high.
Because I have known your name. I shall call upon you. My God.
And you, God.
Will answer me. You, God. Will be with me in trouble. You, God. Will deliver me.
And honor me.
With long life.
You, God.
Will satisfy me. And show me.
Your salvation.
Okay. Acts 22:14-15. This is the Amplified. Repeat after me, please. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
According to Acts 22:14-15.
According to Acts 22:14-15.
I praise you, Lord. That you are the God of my forefathers.
You have destined.
And appointed me.
To know your will.
To perceive. To recognize more strongly. And clearly. And to become better. And more intimately acquainted. With your will. And to see you. Jesus, my Messiah.
Jesus, my Messiah.
The righteous one.
The righteous one.
And to hear a voice.
And to hear a voice.
From your own mouth.
From your own mouth.
And a message.
And a message.
From your own lips.
From your own lips.
Every day.
Every day.
And in the name of Jesus.
And in the name of Jesus.
I am your witness.
I am your witness.
Unto all people.
Unto all people.
Of everything.
Of everything.
That I see.
That I see.
And hear.
And hear.
That you, Holy Spirit.
That you, Holy Spirit.
Are teaching me.
Are teaching me.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, this is expanded 1 Corinthians 2:16 affirmation. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
According to 1 Corinthians 2:16.
According to 1 Corinthians 2:16.
I have the mind of Christ.
I have the mind of Christ.
My brain.
My brain.
Mind.
Mind.
And body.
And body.
Function perfectly.
Function perfectly.
I have perfect memory.
I have perfect memory.
Recall.
Recall.
Cognitive functioning.
Cognitive functioning.
And focus.
And focus.
I make perfect decisions.
I make perfect decisions.
Because I hear.
Because I hear.
The voice of my God.
The voice of my God.
Clearly.
Clearly.
From my Heavenly Father.
From my Heavenly Father.
Jesus, my Lord and Savior.
Jesus, my Lord and Savior.
And the Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit.
My guide.
My guide.
And I operate.
And I operate.
In the gifts.
In the gifts.
And fruit of the Holy Spirit.
And the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Especially.
Especially.
In the gift of.
In the gift of.
Discerning of spirits.
Discerning of spirits.
So that I will not be deceived.
So that I will not be deceived.
In addition.
In addition.
The Holy Spirit helps me.
The Holy Spirit helps me.
To operate.
To operate.
In the fruit of the Spirit.
In the fruit of the Spirit.
In God's love, joy.
In God's love, joy.
Peace, patience.
Peace, patience.
Gentleness, goodness.
Gentleness, goodness.
Faith, humility.
Faith, humility.
And self-control.
And self-control.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Help me to be.
Help me to be.
Sin-free.
Sin-free.
And stay.
And stay.
In the kingdom of God.
In the kingdom of God.
Sin-free.
Sin-free.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Okay. Now, as God's sheep, you will hear the good shepherd's voice. John 10:3-5. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And he brings out his sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him. But they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, this is where we're going. You got to hear God's voice so good that you know it's his voice. And when that stranger voice comes, no matter how good an invitation it is, you will know it's a stranger and you'll flee from that voice. Okay.
Well, the problem is that a lot of times now, because people don't spend as much time with God as they should. And so if you've ever made a mistake, it's probably because you thought it was God. You thought it was a good idea, but it wasn't a God idea. So that's an indication that when there are things that are happening in our life that aren't panning out, or there are events that are occurring that aren't lining up with the fruit of the Spirit, and we don't have that composure like we need in the middle of a crisis, or something that is making us be afraid, and we aren't reacting with that peace of God and staying calm, that means that we are not spending enough time in the presence of God, and we're not in the Word of God to sustain us like we should. So it means that we have a deficit. So we use that like a scale of indication that we need to fill ourselves up more with him and spend more time with him. Because if we have to say, Lord, is that you leading me? Or if you really thought it was God and then it just, you know, everything, you know, blew up and it was horrible and it didn't go like the way you planned, then we need to go back to square one and go back to basics. Because if you have a loved one that you're very close with and you talk to every single day and that person calls you, you absolutely don't have to say, who is this? Okay. But if we're still doubting whether or not we're hearing correctly, it means that you need to try to spend some more alone time and pray that you operate in the gift of the Spirit, and especially this gift of discerning of spirits, so that you will not be deceived. Because the pretender wants to make sure that we think it's God, so we'll stray. And anybody that's ever been scammed, anybody that's ever done something that you wished you hadn't done and you thought it was the Lord, now you have to get out of it and ask the Lord for damage control. We need to really ask the Lord, how can we rework our schedule so we can listen to his voice more clearly and commune with him? When we're praying and asking God and requesting and doing affirmation after affirmation and affirmation, when you're talking, you're not going to be able to hear God. We need to stop so that he could speak and we can hear his voice more clearly. And so spending a lot of time communing with your shepherd helps you to hear and recognize his voice better, but not because we're doing all the talking.
Be still to hear the voice of God. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Spend quality time with God away from your busy life. Take some time, schedule it. Start with half an hour if you have to. Turn off all electronics, even your cell phone. And just pray and listen. And watch what he will do for you. And when you hear that still, quiet voice, you'll know that he is your God. Okay? We live in a wonderful world today with all these advances in electronics and technology. In fact, we can be here thousands of miles away from other people and just be communicating. However, the problem is this technology has taken over so much of people's lives, they don't have time to listen or to think. And now it's time to say, hey, I've got to take control of this. We are in control of our time. Schedule it half an hour, whatever you can, but spend some quality time with God and watch what happens in your life. Okay. All right. So how God speaks. Okay. God speaks directly in a still small voice in your thoughts. 1 Kings 19:12. After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still, small voice, okay? You will know it's God. Everything he tells you will line up with the Bible. You will hear it in your thoughts, okay? And whatever your thoughts are, you know it will line up with the Bible, and it'll be true for you too, okay? Now, you can hear directly an audible voice. You know, God spake unto Noah. And the Lord had said unto Abraham, and the Lord said unto Moses, and the word, and then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah. These are audible hearings of the Lord. Okay. So it's possible to hear, but you have to be really sure that you know who you're hearing from, so you make things correct. Pastor Karen?
Yeah. God mostly speaks to us in our thought life. So we have to make sure that we're discerning which voice we're listening to. Is it our own voice because we really want something and we hear thoughts and might misinterpret it might be God giving us that thought? Is it the devil pretending to be God and wanting us to do something good? Or is it really the Holy Spirit? So we have to really operate in discerning of which thoughts are coming from whose voice.
Okay, you hear through his son, Jesus Christ. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me, and he who loves me will love by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me through the Word of God. Okay. Now, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay. Now, as we're listening to Jesus, and we've been very fortunate that Jesus has shown up several times here on Overcomers Club. He's also shown up at Awake 633. In the last 2 weeks, he's been here 5 different times. That's quite an honor. And as we do this, we get to know him better and get to hear him better and know that's him better. Okay. All right. Then 4, through the Holy Spirit, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, the Holy Spirit is constantly with us. He's inside of us. Okay.
Amen. The Holy Spirit is always with us, but we're not always attuned to paying attention, because he has very small nudges sometimes, that inner small voice. And, you know, I constantly go over these descriptions of people that we heard about on 9/11. That someone called this man and said, "Your mother works in the Twin Towers. We just heard a plane flew into it. Tell her to get out of that building now." And he said, "I know my mother. She knows God's voice so well. She's always accurate in hearing from the Lord. And if a plane crashed into that building, I guarantee you my mom's not there." That's a pretty great legacy for him to have an assurance of how accurate his mother was. So he calls up his mother, and sure enough, she's at home. He says, "Why are you still at home and not at work?" She said, "God told me not to go to work today." And he said, "Did you know what happened?" She said, "No." He says, "Turn on the TV." She had no clue. And then there, you know, there's
now, that means you may not know why God tells you to do something. You'll find that out later, probably, mm-hmm. maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But you do what you're told to do, and you follow instinctively, and may break a routine that you've got going. This lady had never missed a day of work, what I
understand. That's right.
She was always there. Right. She was diligent, consistent. So when she heard God, she broke her routine, because she knew her God so well. That could break that routine. It would be built up over years of habit being developed.
She knew it was a warning. She heeded the warning. She didn't doubt the warning. And say if she was wrong and didn't go to work and nothing happened. Good practice session, right? But what if God was right? What if that really was God and she was hearing accurately and she didn't obey? She'd be in heaven. So when you practice hearing God's voice, you need to have a good track record and see if things are working out right or not. And there's someone else who told a story about, it was a friend of mine, and her cousin, I believe it was cousin, was in the building for an appointment very early. Went to the bathroom, and in the bathroom stall, and she felt a big shake of the building and thought it was an earthquake. Very rare to get an earthquake in New York. And she's like, "What's going on?" In her mind, she hears the thoughts, "Get out of this stall right now and go to your car, drive away." And so she recognized it was God. And in her thoughts, she said, "But Lord, I'll do that as soon as I wash my hands." He said, "No, get out now." She got out of the stall, got in the elevator, got in her car. She got her car on a ferry, looked back, and the building was coming down. She got in the last functioning elevator. If she had delayed and washed her hands, because that wasn't her norm. You know, most ladies like to wash your hands after. Most people should, because it's hygienic. But her life was more important. And she knew so well it was the word of God that she she was foregoing any kind of hygiene, because at that point she needed to save her life. And there was this man who never missed work, going out to work. The wife was praying, gets out of prayer, and she stops the husband and says, "Don't go to work. Don't go to work. I don't know why. I'm just telling you, there's something that you should not go to work today. I never miss work. She goes, please. You know, I really think that this is important. She delayed him. So he missed the train and he had to get another one. So he got to the building late. He got into the lobby when the whole thing, the plane had already hit. He didn't know. All of a sudden smoke was billowing into the lobby and ashes and all that. And it was burning people's lungs and eyes and everything because of the gasoline and whatever. And the EMTs were coming in. They grabbed him, took him to the hospital. He had to be in the hospital a while to, you know, get over the respiratory challenges. But that delay saved his life. There were other Christians, in fact, a very famous Christian who did an interview afterwards on one of the 9/11 memorial shows on a Christian station that I watched. Very, very famous person. She was in the building, in the elevator, and every time the door would open at a floor and they would see people literally flying across the room because of the explosion and all the horrible things they had to see, they try to rescue somebody and grab him into the elevator before the doors closed. They got down to the bottom floor and they were trying to rescue everybody from every floor. And a fireman said, when they got to the bottom of the lobby, ma'am, stop helping that man. I will help that man. You need to go over here to get triage. No, I'm fine. I'll help you get the other people out the elevator. He said, ma'am, your head is bleeding. You have a big piece of shrapnel in your head. She couldn't feel it. And then she went like this and she saw the blood on her hand because she couldn't look at her head. She was in trauma. She did not hear the voice of God to not go in there. She did not hear the voice of God when to leave. God did use her to rescue other people, however, because when she saw something was going on, she started praying for protection. So when she started to pray, she was protected to not die, although she didn't know she had the shrapnel in her head because she was on one of the floors that exploded. She did survive. And so did the people, most of the people they rescued. The horrible things she said she saw, she could never repeat to anyone. She did tell some things on the interview. And I just use those examples over and over and over. It reminds us, what kind of Christian do we want to be? How well do we want to hear the voice of God? And if you think you hear the voice well of God now, you don't hear it as well as you should for in the future when things come. And you have to make instantaneous decisions and know that you're accurate 100% to save your life and your loved ones' lives. So that's why we're doing the series again. We want every single one of us to increase the way we hear God and get better and better and better and more accurate and more accurate and more accurate. Practice. Say these scriptures over and over. Practice affirming, praying, spending time with God, you listening to his voice and not talking during that time. That's your time where after you pray, after you worship, you have your quiet time, literally. where you let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And then you write down what you hear, and then let's see if it pans out. If you're asking God a question. The other day, somebody said to me, I'm so excited. I'm hearing God's voice more, and I'm practicing more and more as we're mentoring and teaching people and Awake 633 and a monthly book club. We're also on this topic, on this chapter as well. And, you know, we tell people after your USP, do an unrestrained prayer, ask the Holy Spirit, what should I do next? So this person asked the Holy Spirit that, and the Holy Spirit said, eat your lunch now. I don't have anything in the house. Yes, you do. Remember, you have leftovers from the other day, went in the fridge. There it was. Oh, yeah, it's only a couple of days. Yeah, okay, I could eat that. And then I need to go buy this. No, you already have one. What? Oh, well, your husband already bought it and put it in the laundry room. Really? And went in the laundry room. There it was. See, check yourself. If it pans out, then you're doing better at your accuracy rate. If, you know, you feel like the Lord said to do something and that immediately it's going to happen and nothing happens, then you missed it. Just CRB, forgive yourself and say, okay, Lord, help me be more accurate next time. Don't beat yourself up. These are practice sessions. Give yourself grace. We're not all perfect, okay? You know, you all know that famous story. I love mangoes. Anybody that loves me, give me a nice, ripe, juicy mango. I'll be your friend forever. No. Anyway, we go to the grocery store and I see these beautiful, ripe, ready to eat mangoes. And I run over there and I'm shopping and I always say, Lord, should I get that? Which one should I get? He said, none of them. I said, what? I'm thinking, I was a good girl. I don't need to be punished by not having any mangoes. What do you mean, God? No mangoes. And I said, are you sure? None of these mangoes? And he said, no, no mangoes. And I looked at my husband and he was picking one up. And I said, God told me I can't have any mangoes. And he goes, really? And he put it back. He goes, maybe it's just this one. Ask if you can have another one. What about this one? He picks another one up. And God says, no, no mangoes. We put it back. We're just double checking. I said, I don't know why. Maybe it's just an exercise in obedience. I said, I'm really disappointed, Lord, but okay. I'm going to stay away from the mangoes. And then I hear these thoughts. They have fresh coconut that you could drink the water and they're cold. They are in the fridge. I said, this store has fresh coconut? That was not normal. I said, really? And I said, honey, the Lord told me they have fresh coconut here in a refrigerated section. Let's go look in the refrigerated section. There it was, a fresh coconut, shocked. And we bought it. And it was going to be cold, so I could drink the water, or another one of my favorite fruit. Hooray. And we get home and we're, you know, it's the end of the day. We watch the evening news. And the evening news says, there's been a recall because of salmonella and people have been getting sick and have gone to the hospital very sick. Some of them didn't think they were going to make it. Mangoes and this brand, it was the exact brand. That's the only brand they had at that store.
Now, a lot of people say, well, I could pray over the mango, which is true. But if you're in disobedience, that prayer is probably not going to work.
And also, if someone has sin in their lives and ate that mango, they probably would have had an open door to get sick.
So,
and if they weren't establishing the kingdom of God, if they weren't CRBing frequently or doing their USPs frequently, they weren't doing their mini scenarios more frequently, that's what opens the door to the devil to attack when we have a long gap in between the last time we confess sin and the next time we do sin inadvertently.
Now, here's the important thing. It's not just about major events. It's about everything in your life. Something as simple as a mango or a coconut is just as important as not going to someplace there's danger. Okay?
Amen. So we're going to practice this week on you asking specific questions of the Holy Spirit. What should I do next? And see if it pans out. What should I wear? Where should I go? And if he says where, then say, what time should I go? Be very specific some things, okay? So we're going to do all of that this week and start working on it to a greater degree of hearing the voice of God better. Amen? Okay, so we're now going to do our communion.
Yeah, before we start.
That's up to you. After?
All right, we'll do communion now, then we're going to have another testimony from somebody else afterwards. So, I think Josephine's going to do the body tonight. Is that correct?
Okay, do you want to lead everyone in honor of students prayer first?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so we repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I'm not aware of any sins.
I'm not aware of any sins.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Of all unrighteousness.
Of all unrighteousness.
According to 1 John 1:9.
According to 1 John 1:9.
Hey, Josephine.
Come before you humbly, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the price that you have paid for us, Father God, on Calvary, Father God. How you were wounded for our transgressions, Father God. How you were bruised for our iniquities, Lord God. How the chastisement of our peace was upon you, Lord God. And by your stripes, Lord God, we were healed, Lord God. Lord, we thank you as we take, Father God, this bread, this body as a reminder, Lord God, that everything that we are facing, Father God, whether it's health, whether it's finances, Lord God, whatever it may be, Father God, it is healed, Father God, because you said so. And because of the act that you have done for us on Calvary, every stripe on your back, Lord God. And Father God, we thank you, Lord God, as we do this in remembrance of you, Lord God. We say we are healed. We say our finances are healed. We say our mind is healed. We say our family is healed in the name of Jesus.
We hear and agree in Jesus' name. Praise God. Okay. Denise, will you wait with the blood, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, as it says in 1 Corinthians 11:25, in the same manner, he took the cup after supper and saying, this is the cup of my new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blood that was shed for us, so that we are now made clean. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we will proclaim the Lord's death until he returns, in Jesus' name, amen.
We hear and receive in Jesus' name.
I agree and receive in Jesus' name.
Okay, praise God. Okay, let's do our affirmations of we've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Am I ready?
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
One more.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen.
Okay. Denise, would you do us the honor of telling us your testimony about 9/11/2001?
Yes, sure. I was here during 9/11, the weekend I had came in. I believe it was either the Wednesday or the Thursday for a job interview, did the job interview, and I decided that I was going to spend some time a couple of days later with my family and leave out the Tuesday morning, which was 9/11. And my aunt at the time, her husband at the time, she was having a birthday dinner. So my brother asked me, so are you going to go? And I said, I take it back. My flight was originally for that Sunday. And he says, well, are you going to go? And I said, okay, maybe I will go. I'll think about it. Maybe I will go. So I called the airlines and changed my flight. And they said, well, we don't have anything that's going on Monday, but we do have a flight that's going into San Francisco, and we can get you on a connecting flight back to Los Angeles. That's the only early morning flight that we have that will get you into Los Angeles about like 9:30, 10 o'clock. So I said, okay, I'll do that as long as I'm getting in there. And then I said, okay, I told my brother, went back downstairs. So my brother, I changed my flight. I ended up paying, I think it was $75 at the time. I said, I'll go with you to the party, to the dinner. I went back upstairs, and something kept nudging me and says, change your flight back to Sunday and leave today. And I said, oh, but I just paid $75 to get a flight. And that was the only, so I called back the airlines and I said to her, I know I just called a few minutes ago to change my flight and I paid the $75. Can I change my flight back from that Tuesday morning flight that you have me on to leaving on Sunday again? And she says, well, I just gave away that seat. It was like the last seat that was available, and I just gave it away. She says, you're like number 5 on the standby list. So you need to get here like right away, because the flight leaves at like, I think it left like 4:30 or something like that. And this was at 2:30. And she said, try to get here as soon as possible. So I ran back upstairs, got my clothes together, told my brother, can you drop me at the airport on the way to the dinner? And he says, sure. He says, what happened? I said, I thought you were going to dinner. I told him, you know, I changed my mind. You know, something just kept telling me that I should leave today, my intended day of leaving. So I left, and when I got back home to Los Angeles, I was busy with work, and I didn't get a chance to call everyone and let them know I'm back home now. So I didn't call my sister, but my brother had already knew that I left because he dropped me at the airport. So on Tuesday morning now, when 9/11 happens, it's like 5:45 in the morning, and my sister is calling in panic. And she goes, oh my God, I'm glad you're alive. I said, I thought you were on that flight that went into the tower, the second tower. I go, what? She says, turn the TV on. When I turn the TV on, I'm thinking, why is she calling me at 5:45 in the morning telling me to look at some TV show? Because I'm thinking it's like a movie. This can't be happening. There is an airplane going into the building. And she says, it's not a TV show, Denise. It's a flight. The flight that you were supposed to be on, that airplane just went into the 9/11 towers. And I go, oh, you're serious. And a few hours later, at the time, the building that I worked in was in a federal building where they housed a lot of federal office. So they called everyone and told everyone, you can't come into the office today because they've closed down all the federal buildings as a precaution. So that was it. And the other irony that I did not get to share is that I was in that same building a month before that for another job interview. And the person that interviewed me, when they started putting the names on the list, died. And I still to this day have my badge, because when you went into the World Trade Towers, because it was such a secure building, they housed a lot of government offices. You had to get a badge, and in on that badge, you get your finger scanned and they take your picture and they take your ID and take your picture. I still have the badge with my picture on it and says World Trade Center Tower 1. And it's crazy. I went back, I looked at it today after we had spoken. I said, oh my God, this thing, you know how things normally disintegrate because of the way they are? It did not disintegrate. It's still, the ink is still good on it. I'm going, oh my goodness, this is like eerie.
Well, thank God you didn't get that job. And we certainly thank God that you weren't on that airplane. And we know that it's wonderful that God had his hand on you, but it's also fantastic that you heard his voice, even though you may not have understood what it was. You knew there was something.
The nudging.
Your spirit knew
so. The warning.
And you heeded that.
And you gave up $75 because of the mistake.
You know.
And, it saved my life.
Because I had to beg her. I said, please don't let me pay another $75. She says, let me see what I can do, because I literally had to pay another $75 to change the flight back. And I just begged her. I said, please, I just paid $75 to change the flight. I said, but something in my gut is telling me not to take that flight. And I just have to listen to it. I said, because every time that my gut tells me to do something, which is the nudging of the Lord, and I don't do it, something happens. It doesn't go right. It doesn't always go right.
Yeah, because you had practiced enough to understand that that was the Lord, the leading of the Lord. Now you for sure know better how to hear his voice and had better mm-hmm. practice, but you had already developed how he communicates with you. And it was life and death, and you knew that. And to be out of the city, because it was horrible for the people, the cleanup, everybody knows mm-hmm. what happened. And so we thank God that the Lord helps us, and that you were growing, and that even though you blew it, you humbled yourself to regroup and go back to the original plan, and you listen to the Lord to go back to it. That obedience is very important. Amen. Yes. Thank you for sharing. Hallelujah. Amen.
Okay, praise God. So I'm going to pray now, and then we'll ask God to do communion. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise, worship, we glorify your holy name. We thank you that Denise was safe from that situation, for everybody else who was safe. I know that Josephine was in the area too. She had challenges too, that she was protected. And we thank you, Lord, for anybody who's been affected by 9/11 or just any tragedies, that you give them peace, that you are there to protect them and help them heal from all these situations. We praise, worship, and glorify your holy name, Lord. And we thank you for your continued protection on all ABCers and all 633ers. This is the angels of God out to protect us and keep us warned. As Lord, we're coming here tonight to hear your voice better. And our prayer is that everybody hears your voice clearly and distinctly at all times, be it small, be it large, whatever it is, they hear your voice in Jesus' name. Amen.
We agree in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that if anybody has any need of healing in their body or has had any emotional challenges, a rough day or stressed out, that Lord, your hand is not short, and that you are with them And we pray for complete healing and the peace of God to be on everybody now in Jesus' name. We pray that everyone stays cool, that supernaturally those places that are very hot, that Lord, that you are their shade and that you help all of us get through the end of the summer. And we thank you for your protection for any of the people that are challenged to be in fire risk zones, and your supernatural hand is upon all ABCers and our loved ones, our friends, and in 633ers and family, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise to God. Okay, Tony and Beth, would you two be willing to do communion next Wednesday?
See if they're there, they should be able to unmute.
I see Beth there. I don't see Tony there.
Hi, Beth. Can you unmute? There should be a pop-up box that says unmute. We'll wait till Tony gets there. We go. So would you two be willing to do communion next week?
Sure.
Okay, great. Wonderful. We'll put you here on. Wonderful. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
All right. So you all have your God assignments to spend more time with the Lord, asking more specific questions than you normally do, and practice on how accurate you're going to be growing. And we believe that everyone is going to go to the next level as we go from glory to glory. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Did this teaching help anybody? I know that we're reviewing a lot of things, but we're also trying to stretch you and expand you to get to the next level. Did this help anybody? Show of hands. Anybody want to put their hands up? Show of hands.
Susan Peter.
Okay, great. This helped you. Put a one in the chat, would you please? Mm-hmm. Number one, if that helped you. Okay.
Thank all you for responding. We appreciate it. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I don't think there's anything more important as we come toward these challenging times than to be able to hear God's voice consistently and to know and to follow him. He's never going to direct you wrong. You know.
Amen. Who's excited about the God assignment to inquire of the Holy Spirit to practice hearing God better? Say, I'm excited to put a number two. Excited about doing it. Put a number two. I think it's going to be really fun. It's going to be really fun because you get to spend more time with God. And there might be some things that you're needing serious answers for. You're going to get those answers quicker than before. That's what I think. And it's going to be more accurate. It's going to be more precise. And who doesn't want to spend more time with God, right? So remember, here's the clue. Don't talk so much when you want to hear from God. You know how I learned that? I would say, God, I've been waiting for you to answer me. Why haven't you answered me? And he'd say, stop talking, Karen. That's how I learned it.
She often hears God's voice first thing in the morning. And I said, that's because you're not talking yet, dear.
It's true. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's very true. So you might try early in the morning, as soon as you get up, spending some alone time with him or whatever you can. And God's going to give you that alone time that you need. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Well, everyone, We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful evening that we've had together.
Yes, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful evening, Lord. And thank you again that everybody starts to hear your voice more clearly and discern you from the enemy, and that they practice. And as they do practice, they see improvement, continuous improvement, and their confidence and faith grows in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen. And don't forget that we would like some testimonies next week about, you don't have to give us specifics of what the answers were that you are going to be getting, but that if you've seen improvement or whatever, we'd love to hear from you, okay?
And Denise, thanks for taking the time to tell us your testimony. We get the personal touch of someone who was actually affected by 9/11, and it means a lot to all of us that you shared with us, and thank you very much.
Amen. For thanks for being vulnerable, and I think it helped people to understand that those nudgings are the Lord, and it helps some people identify that, you know, that is God trying to get through to you. That's not always a thought. Sometimes it's a vision or a picture, but for you, it was this thing in your gut, and it wasn't a feeling. It was a nudging from the Lord. So that was very important for people to see that God can communicate to us in different ways. Amen. All right. Praise